I'm going to call the meeting of the Veterans Affairs Division to come to order, and we'll Representative Fugel, you lead us in the pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
There is a quorum present. Do we have somebody who'd like to approve the minutes?
So moved, Mr. Chairman.
So moved. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? We have a few bills on today that we're going to be going over. And first one on the docket, we'll just skip over one and then come back to that one. We have House File 453, Representative Hancock. I'm going to bring your bill before the committee.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. My name is Dave Hancock, and I would like to move House File 453 be referred to Legacy.
Okay, Mr. Representative Hancock, you also have an oral amendment, I understand?
I do, Mr. Chair. With your permission, I would like to, on line 1.5, after the number 2016, insert and $100,000 in fiscal year 2017.
So on 1.5, we have $100,000 fiscal year 2016 and $100,000 in fiscal year 2017. I believe you explained to me that it was an oversight when the bill was
written. It was an oversight when it was drafted, Mr. Chair, thank you. It was an oversight when it was drafted, and you know, it's a fiscal bill that really is addressed in 2016, and then it would apply to the two-year biennium.
Okay. So all in favor of the amendment on 1.5, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. Representative Hancock, go ahead with your bill.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chair and committee members. It's an honor to carry this bill. It's a bill that many of you are directly associated with, and it's an honor to carry it. Too often, I think, when we hear of veterans, we hear just of the great service that they've rendered to us in times of war, in times of active duty, and we often hear of concerns that they have with rehabilitation and entry, not rehabilitation, but reentry back into private life. And I think what this bill does, and what the Voices, Veterans Voices program and the Humanities have done, is to really educate and inform the public as to the great things that veterans are doing today in our society, and the success stories that they're having, and that the role model that they are really playing for other veterans coming back into society. And I think this really presents a voice that too often gets underemphasized. And for the program itself, there are people that I think would like to testify today, Mr. Chair, that can far better give examples of what this is all about. So if they would come down and introduce themselves and give their testimony, it would be appreciated.
Okay. Welcome to the committee, and as you speak, just introduce yourself for the record. Thank you.
I'm David O'Fallon. I'm the president of the Minnesota Humanities Center, Mr. Chairman, and
welcome.
With me is my colleague.
Hi, I'm Trista Mattis-Castillo, the Veterans Voices Program Officer.
And also joining us, and he'll speak in a few minutes, is one of the Veterans Voices participants and awardees.
Mr. Chair, I'm Richard Leonard.
Welcome.
Thank you.
Great.
Go ahead.
Mr. Chairman and members, thanks very much. In a nutshell, Representative Hancock nailed exactly what this program is all about. It started because we have on the board of the Humanities Center a Vietnam-era veteran and also a combat veteran from the first Desert Storm. It seems like that was both yesterday and long ago. Desert Storm. At any rate, the focus of this program is upon the leadership, the mission, the passion, the values, the character, the courage of the men and women who are now back, who are creating businesses, who are educators, leaders in their community, who are setting a new narrative, a new story about the veteran as an essential contributor to the health, the vitality, the economy of the state. So this program is both an awards program, but that's just the flagship signature. It's also a network of education opportunities. It is a linkage between the veteran and the many who have not served. And we're especially proud because an idea that was launched at the Humanities Center and supported by key members of this committee, Mr. Chairman, to create October as Veterans Voices Month. We're the only state in the nation to have done this. I'm really proud of Minnesota for having done it. And it's an opportunity to create new curriculum for schools, educational resources, community events, and a continuing network of involvement in education for the men and women who've served and who are back and who still have a mission in front of them. And to address that, I'm really pleased that she was able to join us as the program officer for Veterans Voices. Trista Masta Castillo can speak to the program and its development. If that's okay, Mr. Chairman.
That's fine. Awesome. Go ahead.
Thank you. We launched the program, the Veterans Voices Program, just to refresh your memory, because I know many of you were involved in that all the way back in 2013. We launched the first award ceremony recognizing veterans that were 40 and under and doing great things in their community. So it is not about their military service. It's what they're doing now after service and continuing to give back. The nominations are submitted from across the entire state of Minnesota. There's some maps in your folders and packets to give you an idea of how many places we've actually touched for awardees. The second year, at the request of many involved here, we added the category of legacy veterans. So those 41 and over, I'm now in that category and adjusting to that, and that are, again, continuing to give back. The awardees are nominated from anyone across the state. And what that's doing is it's getting people in their communities to start paying attention and realize, I've been working alongside this veteran for years, and I never put it together that that's what a veteran is. There's a study done last year by Kira through the University of Minnesota that asked the question, what do you think a veteran is? And people over 40 typically identified a World War II veteran, who was a World War II veteran and a white male. That's how they describe a veteran. People under 40 describe, again, a white male that is standing on the corner with a sign saying homeless. And though those two things are indeed veterans, there is a whole lot of other things that represent what a veteran is, myself included. They come in every nationality right here in the state of Minnesota, every color, every religious background, and all have the commonality is that they have dedicated and taken an oath to protect and defend their country. And they continue to give back. And so that is the kind of things that we're doing in the community, is that people are paying attention and recognizing what a veteran really is and what it isn't at the same time. And so it's this changing and completing a narrative of the veteran story to be positive, and to really understand that it's a wide diversity of people. So we do that with the launch of the award ceremony, which again will happen on September 11th this year, so you can start thinking about those veterans you want to nominate. Nominations will open March 1st. But we also do other things. For instance, the Veterans Voices Month that was declared last year at the help of yourself, Mr. Chairman, and Representative Newton, we have started to work on curriculum that will be implemented this October into the public school system and other schools throughout the state of Minnesota. We have a great network of teachers, educators, and veterans working together to actually write curriculum that then this summer we'll train teachers in social studies, literature, human geography, those kinds of things that will be piloted then in classrooms this fall, so that when Veterans Day comes around in November, students really have a deeper, richer understanding of what that really means. We also have a touring art exhibit. It was at the Capitol and just left last Friday, so many of you probably saw that there in the north hallway of the Capitol, the Always Lost exhibit. We partner with plays and theater companies, so we have a performance that will be the first 2 weeks of March at the Guthrie, and then from the Guthrie it will travel the state as well, and have partnered along the way. And so the opportunity to partner and have a deeper, rich conversation with veterans and non-veterans to truly understand what it means to have served our country, to be a veteran, and what that includes is really the passion of our work.
Thank you, Ms. Mesta-Skello. I always have problems with that one.
That's right.
But I've been to both events and at the humanities, and it's a great opportunity to meet veterans from all walks of life, from all over the state of Minnesota. Mm-hmm. And I have a question in terms of your curriculum. How are you going to get that into the schools? Do you have to go through the Department of Education, and how is that going to work?
Mr. Chair, if I may answer. So we are actually recruiting. You know, the Humanities Center has a long history of education. So this isn't new to the Humanities Center. We have an education institute that's going in. So we have a broad network of educators already that we have been recruited. We have teachers that have come forward that says, I want to do that kind of work. Part of the committee that's developing the program, we have a teacher who has actually done something similar for the last 2 years down in Northfield at a charter school. And so he's going to pilot this as well. And we have the head of social studies curriculum for St. Paul Schools is involved. And through her networks as well, she actually is the one that helps write the, you know, criteria for graduation standards in the history and social studies. And so that network is also. And so it is a volunteer basis. You know, it's not something that we're requiring teachers, but we are making it in a way that it's readily accessible, easy for teachers to use. We'll offer CLE. And continuing education for teachers as well, so there's incentive to be a part of the program.
If, Mr. Chair, if I may address that.
Yes, go
quickly.
Ahead.
Mr. Chair, thank you, and members. Part of the Humanities Center that I like is that we have no authority. We don't license anybody. We don't make anybody do anything. We work because people choose to work with us, and I'm really pleased to say that over the last couple of years, literally thousands of communities and educators have chosen to work with the Humanities Center because we have valuable resources and materials. So this will take a while to build, but we will work with the people who find this interesting, and building the network of veterans through the award process, the nomination process, and ongoing is one way that we will be intersecting with communities and their schools. The Always Lost exhibit that Trista mentioned has, for example, been at Minneapolis Community and Technical College and at Carleton. Both of these institutions are now on board as education resources.
Okay. Well, we have another testifier, Mr. Leonard.
All right. Mr. Chair and committee members, as a recipient of the award, I think that this work is very important, just to bring clarity to our community about who we are and what we've done. Sometimes veterans are seen as a social problem. I personally have lost 5 friends that are veterans of suicide, and it's always negative things negative things about veterans in the media. So the majority of the work that I do on a volunteer basis with the Humanities Center and Veterans Voices is to bring a positive face to us, to our culture. So it's very, very important stuff to me. And I appreciate all the work you guys have done to help the cause.
Well, thank you, Mr. Leonard. And I know I just received a notice here that the President has just signed into law the Clay Hunt's Save Act, which is signed into law, a new law which will improve suicide prevention of mental health programs for both the VA and the Department of Defense, for our veterans who return home and in need of assistance and reintegration. And sadly, it says that there's 22 veterans every day in the United States that take their lives.
That's been the rate for the last 3 years now.
Right. Okay. Thank you for your service. And
thank you.
And we have Mrs. Trautner.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I've been here before. My name's Jill Troutner, and I live in Maple Grove. And I nominated a legacy winner last year from my hometown of Waubun, Minnesota. She's Native American. And it's given her an opportunity, someone who's been taken for granted, and it's given her an opportunity to create more awareness in the community. And, you know, as a woman who left the reservation because the military was the only opportunity she felt she had at the time, she has returned and given back, even though she could be retired on a beach in Florida somewhere. She continues to work in the community and does so many things. And this program is so proactive. It's so positive. It's building a legacy. And one of the things right now that you hear about in Minnesota, since 2008, Minnesota National Guard has been in the top three of suicides. So one of the things you hear about and you're reading in the news all the time is, how do you create happiness? How do you create better communities? You create that network. This is a positive way of creating that veteran network. You know, we're hearing all this stuff in the news. How do we bring them back? How do we integrate? This is part of it. This is good stuff, good stories, good things that are happening, not the bad that gets all the press. So this, you know, I know this costs money, but sometimes you have to sacrifice in order to become something better down the road.
Well, thank you, Mrs. Troutner. I know I like the education piece because I know my high school, the ag department is the one that puts on the Veterans Day program every year, and it's just outstanding. It's open to the public, and I know I got to speak at one of the events, and you could actually hear a pin drop. And this you know, you got 1,600 students in the gym, and you can actually hear the pin drop when these speakers are up speaking about their experiences in the military and what students can do to understand the role of our armed forces. So I hope this education piece really takes hold of our schools. So I see another guest back there. That's well known by this committee, Jerry Kaiser. I know you were one of the award recipients last year. Is the over 40 group? Is that right?
Yeah. Roger that. I'm one of the old guys. I just turned 70, and I'm a Vietnam combat veteran. And I was never homeless, and I did come back, and I did struggle with this kind of, any kind of recognition. And this Humanities Award that I received is heartfelt. I'm the director of the Minnesota Vietnam Veterans Charity. We do a lot of philanthropic things in the state of Minnesota. We facilitate the flyovers around with the B-25s and the Texans, and I also run the honor flights. We've taken over 1,200 World War II veterans to Washington, D.C. Two more this spring going there. This, even more exciting than I received this, is the friend of mine that Ron Fagan of Fagan Industries out in Granite Falls received this also. And Ron is a Vietnam veteran himself, and he runs a great company, and he gives so much back. I mean, military family, or the Minnesota Foundation that gives out the $500 to all the veterans when they come back. And I think, Jill, did you get that $500? But Ron and his kind of World War II Air Force out there is phenomenal. He's given away to many thousands of dollars to the Minnesota Foundation for I can't remember the total name of it, but it's an honor to be able to be involved with this and have that recognition and the appreciation to do it. As there's only 10 of us that got it as the old guys, but I really liked having it, the younger men and women, to get that designation, because it gives credit early and then they continue on with what they're doing. And when they get older, they just don't have to quit and retire and go fish somewhere. They can actually keep on helping veterans until we die. So there is no, in the Bible, I don't think there's a retirement program. Yeah. So we're going to do this till I can't do it anymore.
Thank you very much.
Well, again, thank you for your service, not only as serving our country, but also serving the veterans that we have here in Minnesota. I've gone to the airport and watched the World War II veterans come back off that honor flight, and I remember I was standing right next to a lady. She probably had to have been in her late 80s, and I kind of moved over close to her just to introduce myself, and I said, "Are you waiting for somebody?" She said, "Yes." I waited for my husband. We came back from the war, in Second World War, just like this. So it was kind of neat watching these people there. So that's a great program that we have here, the Honor Flights. And I'm sure that's only going to be going on for a few more years, because the World War II veterans will only be with us for maybe 10 more years. So,
well, Mr. Commissioner, we are going to continue on with the Korea guys in 2016. We'll finish up with World War II this year and mix them in with the World War II guys who are left. They're all over 90. I do have a new one. He just signed up. He was 15 when he was on Guam and Tinian in 1945. So,
well, thank you. Are there any other questions from the committee?
I had a comment, Mr. Chair.
Yeah. Representative Lesh.
So, thank you, Mr. Chair, and I just want to make this comment. So last night was the Academy Awards. I'm sure people watched it. But it reminded me, when I was listening to this testimony, of the movie that was up for Best Screenplay in 1987, which was Stand By Me, a Rob Reiner film from 1986. The beginning of the movie was these young kids who were going on a journey, and one of the kids, played by a young Corey Feldman, would repeat throughout beginning of the movie, "My dad stormed the beach at Normandy. My dad stormed the beach at Normandy." An incredible point of pride for this young kid, and for many of kids, those kids that grew up in the 50s and 60s. And during that war, as Ms. Mattis Castillo said, folks like us over 40, think of those veterans. And that was back when such a huge percentage of our country donned the uniform for the sake of our country. And the reason why I think this program is so important, because when we're talking about less than 1% of the population now, that has to carry on that legacy, the kids who are going around being proud of not the people in the movies, but of their dad or of their uncle or of their mom, there are so many fewer of them that it's you guys that are helping us continue this narrative, which is so important for the health of our future generations, too. So I wanted to thank you for that, because those are the real heroes. They're not necessarily the ones we see glamorized for the silver screen, but they're the ones that we know are regular people, like our parents or our aunts and our uncles. So thank you very much for that. I think it's a great program, and I encourage the community to support it.
Any other comments? People from attending the committee? Okay. Representative Hancock, would you like to
make
your motion?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. We're talking about legacy, right? It's an honor for me to renew my motion to move House File 453 as amended to the legacy.
Representative Hancock moves that House File 453 as amended be referred to the Committee on Legacy.
Yes.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Thank you, Representative Hancock.
Thank you.
The next bill that we have before us is House File 450. Representative Lohmer. Welcome to our committee. If you would introduce yourself for the committee, Representative Lohmer.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members of the committee.
very excited to be here today and appreciate your hearing of House File 450 today.
And would you like me to move your bill, Representative Lohmer?
Please, Mr. Chair.
I will move House File 450 to get it in front of the committee and be referred to State Government Finance.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So this bill was brought to me by a constituent and a good friend, Richard Glasgow, who heard about a similar bill in South Carolina being passed. Mr. Glasgow has founded an organization called Dear American Hero and has made his life's mission to honor veterans and their families. So Veterans Day is a special day to recognize the veterans, their dedication, their sacrifices. But there are, however, other veterans who need a day of recognition. They are the spouses and the families of the veterans who have served and are currently serving. They are the home front veterans who keep the household running by paying the bills, taking children to school, mowing grass, shoveling snow, repairing and maintaining the home, plus working one or two or maybe more jobs to make ends meet. The home front veterans also attend the school PTA meetings, confirmations, bar mitzvahs, weddings, even funerals. Our serving military has their unit support, while the spouses and families have little or none, being oftentimes alone. Children are often being moved to new schools. Female spouses sometimes give birth without family support when the veteran is deployed. The list can go on and on. These unrecognized home front veterans also contribute to the sacrifice for the benefits of freedom that we all enjoy. So there have been various states and organizations who set aside a day to recognize spouses and families, but it's usually just a one-time event and not coordinated with any other activity or date. So this bill is not intended to be as a holiday, but a day set aside each year to recognize and remember the other veterans who make sacrifices. This bill has no political party affiliation. There are no monetary requirements from the state or taxpayer or any other entities. This bill would just be a normal thank you, or a moral thank you to those who have been forgotten or overlooked for too long. Veterans groups recommended tying the recognition day to the Thanksgiving weekend as a perfect time of year to recognize the importance of family. The day after Thanksgiving has been firmly established in the public's mind is Black Friday, the day to kick off the Christmas shopping season. But I'd like to see Black Friday turned into a day where we say thank you to the families of our veterans. Our military families embody ideals we cherish: commitment, loyalty, and strength. They stand beside those who stand behind our flag, giving their all and making tremendous sacrifices. They shoulder the burdens of the countless moves and stressful deployments, and they uphold their end of the bargain. On Military Spouse and Family Appreciation Day, we celebrate the force behind the force and show these Minnesota heroes and families full support from our whole state. So I'm really excited that if we pass this bill today, we'll be the second state in our country to have a specific day to recognize our veterans' families. Our son Chris is a captain in the Army, currently serving in the reserves and working as a trooper for the State Patrol. He has served two tours in Iraq, and I can tell you from a mother's perspective, this is difficult. I'm assuming that everyone here has either been deployed or has a family member who's been deployed, so I don't have to tell you what that means. And if you've not had that, it can't be fully explained. So I have Mr. Glasgow here with me today, as well as my daughter-in-law, Kendra Lohmer. And I will let her share what it means to have a spouse serving in the military, and Mr. Glasgow, why he believes it's important to have this day to recognize our veterans.
Well, welcome to the committee, Mrs. Lohmer.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members, for having me here today.
Please introduce yourself for the record.
Okay. Thank you. Good afternoon. My name is Kendra Lohmer, and I'm excited to come here today and tell you a little bit about my story and what this day would mean to me. Like Kathy mentioned, my husband Chris is an officer in the U.S. Army. We've been married for 8.5 years, and I'm proud to say that I've been a military wife for all 8.5 of those years. We got married the summer after we graduated from college. I was unable to attend the normal job and internship fairs as graduates normally do, as my husband was leaving for training 2 weeks after we got married. So we moved to South Carolina shortly after we got married, and we lived there for about 10 months. My husband left for his first deployment exactly a week before our first wedding anniversary. As Kathy mentioned, he served two tours in Iraq, and so we did not experience our first wedding anniversary until 3 years into marriage. I am happy to say we have not missed one since, but there's been other big events that he has missed and things that I have missed him for while he's been deployed, one of which of being missing our first 5 months of our first pregnancy of our son Gavin. However, looking back on these 8.5 years of being a military wife, I wouldn't change it for the world. I am so proud and honored to understand the world that our veterans and our military spouses and families live in. I couldn't imagine my life without it. I am proud that I understand the sacrifice that these families and these spouses go through. And I'm happy to say that when I pick up my son from school the other day, when they talked about what he wants to do when he grows up, there was a picture of him as an Army man, and he told me that he wanted to be in the Army. So as to your comment, I'm proud that he has also felt this pride that it means to be in our to serve our armed forces here in the United States. So as we talk about this day to honor our military spouses, I think it's a great step in the right direction to help our families understand the sacrifice and understand what those things are that they may have missed. If it's those normal things, quote-unquote normal things we call in life, births and pregnancies and jobs and things like that. And for them to sit there and know that they are appreciated and know that the rest of the state is thinking of them. I know I can speak on behalf of my husband. He would love a day to thank his force here at home. And I know our veterans would love that chance to thank their at-home spouse, because I know that that force at home makes them stronger and knows it makes them the ability to go on and go on that next deployment. So thank you again for letting me here today, and I'm excited to see you.
Well, thank you, Mr. Loomer, for your testimony. I know the home front, I call it the home front. I know through my deployments and my two sons' deployments and my son-in-law's deployments, it's the family members that are left behind that kind of keeps the thing going. And also for the troops that are deployed, knowing that things are okay at home, they can concentrate on their mission, concentrate on their job. Mm-hmm. As many times if there's problems at home, that can affect one's performance on the mission. So thank you. Mr. Glasgow, welcome to the committee.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and committee members. My name is Richard Glasgow. It's an honor to be here today to talk about military families and their sacrifices. Being told you're appreciated is one of the simplest and most uplifting things you can do. I've been doing just that since 2006 when I founded Dear American Hero. I have sent out over 6 million of those cards and over 6,000 of those coins. Today, I mailed out over 3,000 cards, and that's usually a daily occurrence for me to go to the post office and send out thousands of cards all over the United States every day. I attended a kickoff meeting of the Yellow Ribbon Network back in 2006, hosted by Chaplain John Morris, and I'm sure most of you committee members know John Morris. At the meeting, a female Air Force sergeant was speaking, and she said, "I've been back from deployment for 3 years now, but when somebody thanks me for my service, I get this feeling I just can't describe." From that meeting, Dear American Hero was born. During the next year, when I only had the one card for military members, Chaplain Morris kept telling me there's a need for the family card because of their sacrifices. It's exactly what I was hearing from the military members when I handed them a card. It's my family's who deserve this card. The next printing of included the cards thanking our military families. On the front is two children, one from Fort Riley, Kansas. His dad put this card, taped it to his Humvee, and it was there during his whole deployment, and he says that's what kept him thinking of his family back home. The other one is a daughter of an Army member right here from the Twin Cities. So, the back of the card reads, and you know, I couldn't say it any better than this. Chaplain Morris wrote this for me. I want to thank you for your sacrifices you have made to preserve our nation's freedom. Your long nights, lonely days, times of fear, hours of worry, and seasons of stress are not unnoticed by those who enjoy our freedom. Those 44 words have touched so many hearts over the last 9 years, and I'm here today to ask you to consider making the day after Thanksgiving Military Appreciation Day. In closing, I'd like to relay a couple of quick stories about local families. A good friend of mine, she was a very outgoing person, always out in the community. Her son was deployed, and when his boots hit Iraq, she shut down. She never left her house, or very seldom. Told her family, whatever you do, don't knock on the front door. Don't ring that doorbell. And for heaven's sakes, don't slam the car door when you come to see me. Come in the back door and be quiet. She was devastated that her son was in a war zone and she didn't know what was going on day to day. She got to a point where she put her cell phone in a Ziploc bag and took it in the shower with her, just in case she received a phone call from her son. That's what military families go through every day. You don't hear about it, but that's what they go through. Another good friend of mine lives here in the Twin City area. Her husband was a Black Hawk pilot, 22 years. His unit was being deployed, but they didn't have a flying slot for him. So he says, well, I trained all these guys. I'd like to go with you, but I'm going to retire. So he retired, and after 22 years, his wife finally got a husband back. Well, lo and behold, 3 months later, he received a call and says, we do have a flying slot for you. He re-enlisted, went to Iraq. She was absolutely devastated. And through that whole time, there was a lot of family problems, but every time he called, she was just cheerful and everything was going good. When he got back home, she called me. She says, I can't do this. I cannot put up with him. He's still in Iraq. He's here every night, but he's not in my bedroom. He's some other place. Mm-hmm. It took 6 months before their marriage got back together again. You know, those are the tough stories. And I can, just a personal note, I never thought growing old was going to be this tough. But these last 9 years, thanking the military and their family, has been the most rewarding time of my life. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Glasgow. And I know we've communicated several times at different events, and I know I've handed out several of these cards and coins myself. When I'm at an event, I see a veteran, and I'll come over, and of course the military way, you shake hands, and you got the coin in your hand, and and they'll look at it, and they'll look at you in the eyes, and they know that you really care. So really, thank you for what you're doing, and your organization has touched a lot of people's hearts. So thank you. Any questions for on this bill? Representative Pugh.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Lohmer, thank you so much for bringing this bill. I just love it. I just am looking so forward to having a day. It's just fantastic. And Kendra, thank you so much for your testimony. Just really, really appreciate it. I don't have a family member who is in your situation, so I could just really feel that, and I appreciate it. And Richard, you know how I feel about all that you've done and your cards, and as you know, I have had your cards in my purse every day, and I carry a whole bunch in my car, and I just have such great fun going to the mall and putting one of these cards in any car on my way in and on my way out where I see a bumper sticker on the car. And it's just really fun thinking about when that mom or dad or whomever gets back to their car and just sees that little recognition to not feel, alone. And I think a lot of them really don't know. It's so wonderful. So thank you so much for what you've done. I just love it. So appreciate it.
Representative O'Driscoll.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Representative Womer, I will echo Representative Pugh's comments. This is a very nice way to recognize members of the military and their families in a different way. And I do know how important the considerations are for military families. The veterans and those who are serving worry more about them than they do about themselves when they're deployed. And you hear that continually and consistently. Members who have worked with me on committees know that I'm a very pragmatic person, and I want to make sure that we don't have any potential political problems with the bill that we're looking at here today. Do you know if in the state of Minnesota or nationally this date has been declared or dedicated for another cause the day after Thanksgiving?
Representative Womer?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Representative O'Driscoll, I don't know.
Okay.
Representative O'Driscoll?
Chair? Because I know that in some states it's been declared as Native American Heritage Day, and I don't believe that that is the case in Minnesota, but you had mentioned that there was one other state. I just wanted to just bring that forward so that we don't have any hard feelings or anything on that. Just wanted you to be aware as this bill continues to move through on that. Then the other question that I have is, you've procured a Senate author on this as well?
Representative Lomer?
Mr. Chair and Representative O'Driscoll, I'll answer your second question first. Senator Housley, they passed this out of their committee last Monday, I believe, or Thursday. I can't remember. And on the other question, I will definitely check on if there's any other days for this day that would conflict.
Representative O'Driscoll.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Representative Loma, I do laud the idea. I just want to make sure that we don't have any, hey, we had that day or that was a different day, because no one wants to make this a political issue. And so I just raise that as kind of one of the pragmatic items that I'm known for around the legislature, I guess. So.
Good points. Good points. Representative Newton.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Representative Loma, thank you for bringing this forward. In following up on Representative Driscoll's comments, we do have a national military spouse appreciation day, the Friday before Mother's Day. So there is a day for spouse, but not for family. You know, I'll support this bill, but just to make sure that, you know, it doesn't hurt having. Spent so many years in the military and so many separations, and the spouses and families tend to suffer a lot more than the persons in the military do, that as much as we can recognize the families, I'm happy to see us do it. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Newton. Now, if I recall, isn't there on the Capitol grounds, there's going to be a family recognition not a memorial. Anybody hear of that? Mr. Kerr, maybe you could bring that forward.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. For the record, my name is Don Kerr. I'm the Executive Director of the Department of Military Affairs. Mr. Chair, there is actually a fairly substantial monument to military families that is already in place. The ground has been broken, and I think the monument is complete, but it hasn't been dedicated, and there is a dedication scheduled for the spring, but I do not know what the date for that dedication is, but I do know that the monument has already been constructed and is ready to go.
Okay. Well, thank you. Thank you. Okay. Representative Lomer, I'll renew the motion that House File 450 be referred to State Government Finance. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? It has passed. Thank you for coming.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members.
I said pass, but it's referred.
You said referred.
Yeah.
I would have jumped all over you, Mr. Chair. Respectfully.
Yeah. We're going to change the guard here. Thank you.
Next, we will take up House File 546. And Representative Detmer, would you care to move your bill?
Yes, Mr. Chair, I move House File 546, and it will be referred to, I believe, State Government and Finance? No.
Civil Law.
Civil Law, I'm sorry, Civil Law.
Very good. Please proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Kerr and committee members. The current law prohibits, when we take a look at our military records, current law prohibits government entity from releasing the contents of the United States government, DD-214 and also DD-215, or any other certificate of discharge from the military service unless certain conditions are met. And this prohibition does not apply to the release of the DD-2 Forms 214 or 215 or other certificates of discharge by an employee or official. And this can cause some problems when certain military people are applying for different grants and so forth, and we would like to change that with this bill. And I've got Mr. Kerr here from Military Affairs to just discuss this with us as a committee to give us a better understanding what this bill is going to do.
Thank you, Director Kerr. Would you introduce yourself and give your testimony, please?
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. Again, I'm Don Kerr. I'm the Executive Director of the Department of Military Affairs. Though this is not an agency bill, this is a bill the agency supports. We do periodically have some difficulty with service members who are seeking some sort of benefit, usually outside the direct military system, but through the Department of Veterans Affairs or the federal VA, and recovering their records, particularly when they're not here in Minnesota, can sometimes be a challenge. And the way the current law is written, if they have filed a previously earned DD-214 with their local county, the county is prohibited from providing that to the Department of Military Affairs or the Department of Veterans Affairs. And it relies, it leaves the onus on the service member to actually get a copy of that record and make it available. It's not a huge crushing burden, but it does slow down the processing of certain claims and grants. And we think this is a pretty simple one-line fix that would streamline some of that. Representative, I don't know if you've got other testifiers, but...
Yes. Mrs. K. Rickey.
Representatives, and thank you. My name is Kay Rookie. I'm the Martin County Recorder in Fairmont, Minnesota, and I am representing the Minnesota Association of County Officers. All 87 counties created a marriage certificate data index, which helps our constituents find where their marriage record is located in the state of Minnesota, because it's filed, each certificate is filed where the application was applied for. When the veteran service officers have seen this system, they decided that it would be a very helpful way for our military veterans to get faster benefits. And so we checked into creating a private database very similar to what this marriage database is. Because the discharge, they are filed at the county recorder's offices, and they are filed usually in a place of residence. So if someone is discharged, they could file it at any county where they were resident at a period of time. So to help them locate these records, we decided that we would check out the legislation to make sure everything was going to work and streamline it so they could receive these benefits. This is a private database and or an index, and this bill allows for that exchange of that information because they are private records. So we would hope that you would support the passage of this little bit of language change, which just allows the exchange of these DD-214s and DD-215s. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Rookie. Are there any questions for Director Kerr, Ms. Rookie, or Representative Detmer? Representative O'Driscoll.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Kerr, you had said something that kind of piqued my interest, because I have a constituent who's husband recently passed away, and she was asking about military benefits, and one of the things I said she's going to need to do was locate the DD-214, and she said, first of all, what's that? And to kind of walk through what that, and then where might I find it? I'm just wondering, you had talked about placing the DD-214 on file. Is that something that the counties currently can do, so a constituent or a returning member could put that on file for benefits, so families wouldn't need to worry about locating that, or which box is that packed in the garage or the attic or whatever the case may be?
Director Kirk?
Mr. Chair, Representative O'Driscoll, a little bit out of my lane into the Department of Veterans Affairs realm, but I think I can discuss it. So typically, when a service member is discharged off active duty, a file, a copy of their DD-214 is sent to the county in the home of record for the individual. So in my case, I left from Bemidji. My DD-214 was filed in Beltrami County. I actually haven't lived in Beltrami County, but that's where my DD-214 is. The service member also gets a copy of that, but where those wind up can be somewhat problematic, particularly if you have some transitory period of life after leaving service, and maybe a lot of time has passed, and in fact, in some cases, going back to World War II, they used a different form that was the equivalent of the DD-214. The Department of Veterans Affairs has the ability to go out and query the counties, but it's a somewhat cumbersome process, and we believe that this legislation would allow them to create the index that would speed up the ability to retrieve the record. I think there may still be some issues with a cousin. I think there are some pretty specific relationships that are laid out in statute as to who they may be released to, but I think this is a step in the right direction.
Representative O'Driscoll.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Kerr, that is welcome news, because members may recall or may be hearing it for the first time, but the Department of Defense had retained a lot of discharge paperwork, as we know, in Missouri, and there was a fire that had ensued, and a substantial portion of records are gaffed because of that, and to be having a redundant system to be able to preserve benefits, burial or otherwise, I think is extremely important. So this does have a belt and suspenders approach to take care of veterans and their families.
Representative Depper.
I know I've made several copies of my DD-214 and in my file at home, and a safe deposit box, and so forth. So it's and I've told my sons too, make copies of everything that you get from the military, and have a file and put things away so that you never know when you need to use them. So, but I think this piece of legislation is just going to make it easier to track down where these DD-214s are located in the counties.
Yes, Representative Lett.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. What's the motion on this bill? Where's it going?
My understanding it's to be moved to civil law.
Okay. Thank you.
Is there anyone else from the public that would wish to give testimony? If not, Representative Detmer, would you care to...
Mr. Chair and committee members, I renew my motion that House File 546 be referred to civil law.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, nay. Carried.
Thank you.
Thank you, testifiers. We'll now move on to House File 841. Again, Representative Detmer, would you care to move this bill?
Yes, Mr. Chair and committee members, House File 841 be referred to Committee Higher Education, and I do have the A2 amendment.
Okay. And would you care to move the A2 amendment, or do you want to... You want to move that first?
Let's, Mr. Chair, yeah, let's go with the A2 amendment. It's just some language clarification. And there was one word that was used in the original bill that just didn't fit. So the A2 amendment just reads an active member of the State National Guard who resides in Minnesota.
Any comments or questions on the A2 amendment? If not, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. To the bill, Representative Detmer.
Well, Mr. Chair, this came to me from some of the men and women who are currently serving in the National Guard. And the bill basically allows active members of the National Guard who are living in Minnesota to qualify for residency for the purpose of receiving higher education grants and aid. This is a technical amendment that would change the bill's language, and I talked about the amendment before meant to make it more clear. And if you take a look at the bill itself, there's nine in the current statute, there's nine different requirements that requires people to have to qualify for different grants and loans for the for anybody. But in the if you're a member of the National Guard and you move into the state, you could buy a house here, you could start school here. The current law says that you got to be here 12 months before you can qualify for any of these other grants and loans. So what I did, I just stated an active member of the National Guard who lives in Minnesota, resides in Minnesota, would qualify. So that's basically the change. And I have Mr. Kerr here that would testify towards this too.
Director Kerr, again, would you give your name for the record and then give your testimony? Thank
Certainly.
You.
Mr. Chair, again, Don Kerr, the Executive Director of the Department of Military Affairs. I'm here to speak on behalf of this bill as it would be a tangible benefit for a small number of our members who moved to Minnesota, transfer into the Minnesota National Guard, making them eligible for those higher education grants earlier than they would otherwise be. And we do see that as a benefit for our service members and therefore support the bill.
Is there anyone else from the public who would like to give testimony on the bill? Are there any questions for Director Kerr or Representative Detmer? Representative Detmer, would you care to renew your bill, please?
Yes, Mr. Chair and committee members. I renew my motion to refer House File 841 as amended to higher education.
All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed, nay. Carried.
Thank you.
Chair Detmer, are there any other things that you would like to discuss?
Not really, Chair.
Then we are adjourned.